ABC Radio Australia.
Fiji's government is set to present its national budget later this morning, promising investment in jobs, infrastructure and social protections. But as conflict simmers in the Middle East and global oil prices remain volatile, Pacific nations face renewed pressure to shield their economies from external shocks. The ABC's Fiji correspondent Lithe Mavono previews what budgeting for global conflict could look like in the region.
Fiji's budget this year isn't just about balancing books. It's about preparing for a world in crisis. Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister Professor Biman Prasad says the 2025-2026 budget will try to insulate Fijians from global pressures that are already starting to bite.
We have to put in policies that anticipate that adverse impact. And so when it happens, when it does translate into that, we will be cushioned and we will ensure that we look after our people in that particular situation.
Economists say Fiji's economy has been recovering well from COVID, with growth and reduced inflation. However, as the war between Iran and Israel heralds a possible period of economic slowdown, the Fiji government is hedging against potential downturns in tourism and remittances, both vital lifelines for island nations.
We also saw good economic growth in the last 2 years. And if we are able to maintain that level of economic growth, and that if we are able to raise the same level of revenue, we are confident that we would be able to keep our debt to GDP ratio below 80%, which is 10% lower than what we inherited when we came into government in 2022, which was above 90%.
For the first time, Fiji's debt-to-GDP ratio is expected to fall below 80%, down from over 90% when the current coalition government came to power in 2022. But that stability could be tested. Kishti Sen, ANZ Bank's Pacific economist, monitors economic trends across the region and explains how global shocks, especially oil price volatility, could affect island nations.
Yes, there has been a temporary spike in oil prices since the conflict started, but it has returned to where it was before the conflict started. The negative news around a conflict or any war does create the doubt of uncertainty about discretionary expenditure all over the world. So I think that there could be some impact through that channel simply because of the uncertainty and the negative news that surrounds a conflict.
The budget is going to anticipate that the measures are geared to make sure that we are able to deal with any of those, you know, contingencies.
Sen says Pacific countries are now in a transition phase where tourism alone won't drive growth. He says governments must step in to maintain momentum.
So it's a transitional phase where tourism rebuilds capacity and Fiji looks at other industry sectors as sources of growth. I would suggest that a good budget would be one that keeps public demand or expenditure up rather than down.
Fiji's government appeared to be doing just that. Biman Prasad says the budget will continue investment in infrastructure, especially in health and education, and support sectors affected by rising living costs.
I think it will be a very balanced budget. It will be a budget for stability. It will be a budget for prosperity for our people. It will be a budget that will cushion any possible impact of the global economic slowdown. We have made a significant progress in the last 2.5 years. A lot more work still needs to be done, and you will find that this budget continues with that momentum.
But can other Pacific nations follow suit? Both Prasad and Sen say the time to act is now. And that means designing budgets that are socially protective, economically bold, and regionally connected.
It is not a time to hold back on supporting our people. So this is not a time to cut back on expenditure, which will support growth. Plus, I think as a region, we need to keep thinking about a much more deeper, meaningful regional integration.
Time has arrived. How do Pacific Island countries generate more income domestically so that they can sustain strong economic growth into the future? The Pacific is very much an informal economy. how do you put more cash in their pockets so that they can increase their spending power?
San also advises governments to be ready to ease fuel costs by adjusting tax policies, especially if inflation spikes again.
If inflation does become a problem, government certainly can do things. Like government could take away temporarily some taxes on products in order to provide some respite to people if there is a real cost of living problem.